We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey, welcome. Welcome to our show. Appreciate you being there. Oh, love my renovation project. You know, we love most of them. Really do. Got one going right now where the client got a contractor's bid first. Turned out the contractor's bid was maybe 40% high. But we're getting into that one. I'll talk about it more in a few minutes. Anyway, we've been experiencing some pretty warm weather. 112 degrees yesterday. Wow. Right now, it's 112 right now. Luckily, I haven't been out there to find out. So, anyway, we talk mostly on this show about the FHA 203K, the home style renovation mortgage, and the new VA renovation mortgage, where VA loans typically go 100% financing, and now you can get the money to fix them up and still get 100% financing. Isn't that cool? Oh, I can't believe how many consultants haven't been providing a property inspection report with their 203K paperwork. Somebody has short-circuited the system and told them they didn't need to, or that they could talk them into a full home inspection, and if they didn't want it, then you don't give them anything. Well, that's not true. Every 203K that involves a consultant should have a property inspection report. It is not necessarily a home inspection. In fact, we get to disclaim it as not a home inspection. Why is that? You know, if you've got a FHA says you got to be a home inspector to do 203K inspections if home inspectors are licensed in your state. Okay. Why, if I then have to disclaim it as not a home inspection? Home inspectors typically don't place value on the work they find needs to be done. And FHA consultants, that's what we do, is we bid the job. So we're more like a contractor in that regard. And frankly, it's easier to teach a contractor to be a consultant than it is to teach a home inspector in many cases, unless they have a construction background. So anyway, a couple years ago, I created an application for that very reason, and it's check boxes, click boxes mostly. You can talk into it and add sentences, but primarily it's done to give you and provide you the minimum inspection required by HUD for an FHA 203K. Benefit to the lenders, they get a consistent property inspection report. Okay, so they can get used to what's there and when's there and how it's written. And it's only like 2 or 3 pages typically. So that's much less than a standard home inspection, which could be up to 58 or 60 pages easily. Anyway, let's see. Appraisers used to have the lock on a 442 inspection or a compliance inspection report. Several years ago, HUD deregulated that and said that anybody who knows how to do the report can do it. So I'm telling consultants, you know how to do the report, and your customers are lenders. Now, there's a loan out there called the 203B, which is the standard, everyday, run-of-the-mill FHA loan, 203B. 203Bs, when the appraiser goes out and inspects it for the appraisal, may find a broken window or a cracked window or a handrail that's broken or some list of usually no more than 2 or 3 things, quite often 1. And you can get paid to run out and look to see that that one thing is finished and charge a fee for that. They usually want it the next day or the same day if possible. So why not have one of that, you know, have that in your quiver so that you can be called upon to do those loans? I have a friend of mine that is doing these loans or these inspections. He's a consultant. He's a home inspector. He charges top dollar. He doesn't give them away. You know, they may be getting their loan or their inspection done currently for $175. He charges $450. But he runs out there right now. And the lenders don't seem to have trouble with it. They're trying to close a loan. Okay. But anyway, well, most 203Ks and other type renovation products go off without a hitch. From time to time, the homeowner may feel a little overwhelmed. So we tried to address that situation because we understand the homeowner can get overwhelmed from time to time very, very easily. So what we've done is we set up a website called 203k911.com where we will help. I would say we're helping 99.9% of the callers or people that were asking for help without a fee, without a single fee, because most of their problems have been easily solved over the phone. We tell them what to do, they go do it, and they call back or email me and say, thank you so much. They just didn't know what to say and to who to say it to. So we try to bridge that gap for the homeowner, and for the most part, it's absolutely free. Okay, let's see. Boop, boop. There are a lot of consultants listening to our program, I know, and thank you for that. I get emails from you all week long. I should just put all those emails into a show and start talking about the things that were called in over the week. But it is good to hear from consultants that are trying to do it right and looking for someone to talk to that's typically not in their marketing area. Well, I do 203Ks. I'll do them all over the country. But I personally don't do them all. I have a group of consultants that we use all over the country. And if you want to get on that list and get more work referred to you, then I recommend that you let us know. So just let us know, and we're happy to add you to the list. But we've got projects going right now up and down the eastern seaboard. We got, let's see, where is it? Got one in Wisconsin, lots in Florida and Georgia. But they're all over the place. Alabama, trying to think of what came in last week. But so if you want to get more referrals from us, just let me know. Let me know. Send me a copy of one of your reports. Let me see what it is you're providing the lender. And you deal directly with the lender. Okay, we don't get between you and the lender. Is the lender is your loan client versus the borrower who is your actual client. See, there's a lot of consultants out there that think there's no work for them because the area has been saturated with consultants. I say this every week. That's impossible. Most areas, particularly the larger areas, need more than one consultant. You need someone to do the draws when you're on vacation. Okay, so the key is that you can't be oversaturated. The more consultants that are pushing the product in the area, the more everybody will do. So if you're marketing correctly, you can get the bulk of that business. If you don't know how to market your services, then that's shame on you. You need to take a better course or review the course you've already taken with regard to marketing your services. Now, if you're using the FHA HUD list to market and hoping that now I'm on the list, I'm going to get so much work, I don't know what to do with it, you're not. That list is so poorly put together. Shame on HUD for not doing it better. But if you live in Blythe, South Carolina, and there is a 203K in Blythe, South Carolina, you can pull it up. Well, how many people are there? Only one. There's one consultant to choose from. But Blythe is a suburb of Columbia. Now, how many people do you think are in Columbia that might need a 203K? So what I'm telling you is, if your website doesn't have 203K in it, you need to add that. If you have a website and you'd like me to review it and suggest some keywords to add to your website that might produce more work for you than you're currently achieving, feel free to let me know. Go to the 203K911 website, hit the contact button, give me your website address, tell me what you want me to do, say suggest anything that might help me get more business, and I'll be happy to do that for you at no cost. At no cost. I'll be happy to do that for you because I love the program, and I love that you're in the program, and I want you to be successful. So hang in there. Don't give up. Don't throw your hands up. I loved it a couple years ago, 2014. Gosh, this is 2019 already. 2014 or 15, HUD came back and said, you guys got to use the guideline for draw inspections. You can only get $100. Well, that's false. That was a guideline. It's not a mandate. HUD and nobody else can tell you what to charge for a draw inspection. So just because it's there doesn't mean that it's unfair to charge more. You and you alone know your cost to do business in your area. Like right now, feasibility analysis, which we'll be talking about later in the show, is HUD says you can get $100 for a feasibility. Well, they don't take into account, is it a duplex, triplex, fourplex, or is it a 3,000-square-foot single-family home? You know, most of them are 1,000. Most of them are maybe 750 to 800 square feet. But they don't give us an opportunity to fix that. And while we'll be talking about them a little later in the show, I want you to know that I did one. I got out there. It's a 5-story single-family house. I immediately called the lender, and I said, this is not $100. Well, in that case, it was $350 is what I was charging. I said, but this house is bigger than any fourplex I've done yet. Fourplexes don't usually sit 5 stories high. He said, oh, okay, well, we had a feeling that was going to happen, and that's okay. We're happy to pay it, whatever it is. And I told him, well, I'm going to charge $600 to put this together. And we did, and they were happy to pay it. So don't think that the guideline means that's what you only thing you have to work with. It is a guideline. Just ask any lender for some money up front, which the guideline says you can get, and 90% of them will say, no, no, no. The guideline may say that, but we don't do that. Why not? If it's the guideline and you have to force consultants to use the guideline, then lordy, lordy, why aren't you forced to use the same guideline? Because they have supplemental requirements. Well, we do too. And we need to make sure in the standards of practice that we have the ability to charge supplemental guidelines. You know, we can charge extra. I mean, at one time, I lived in Hercules, California. It was 20 minutes to hit San Francisco, get across the Golden Gate Bridge, or not the Golden Gate, but the Bay Bridge, and get into San Francisco. And then near the end of when I moved out of there, it was 2 hours to go that same distance. Just to get to San Francisco. That means a draw inspection in San Francisco is going to take about 5 hours. I can't do that for $100. There is no way. And I never did, by the way. We always put on what it takes to do it, and your guideline says you can get 350 plus mileage or whatever's normal in your marketing area. They did that because that's what I was charging. So it's whatever the market will bear. If you charge too much, you won't get the business. If you charge too little, you're going to get all the business, but you won't make any money. So anyway, we'd love to hear from you in the second segment of our show. Call us at 888-627-6008, toll free, and be part of our show. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this short break.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
A great idea. I actually think it is. This, the FHA 203K, the first time I saw it, I thought, this is a wonderful, wonderful product. I wish I had known about it when I was buying and selling over 300 units. But we bought and sold, bought, fixed up and sold and held. At one time, that's all I did every day was go repair any one of 300 units that needed it. Me and a handyman, a close friend of mine, it's a wonderful guy you'd ever want to meet. He would meet me at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'd go to breakfast. Sometimes he'd meet me at 7 and we'd go to breakfast. But then we'd divvy up the work, and he'd go one direction, I'd go the other, and we'd just repair. One of the fun things I did was we had a favorite place we would go to lunch, because we'd hook up at lunchtime and double see how we're going, seeing if we need to spend more hours out here or what. But there was a place called Yetwall Restaurant. It was a Chinese restaurant. We'd go in there, and Gary, the waiter, always look at Fred and say, "Hi, Fred. Hi, Mr. Young." I could not get him to call me Mike. Why, I don't know. But that's the way it's been most of my life. I don't know. They get this in their head. Well, he's clearly the boss. He's going to be Mr. Young, and this guy is more my level, I guess. I don't know what they're thinking, but I told Gary many, many times that he could feel free to call me Mike. It's fine. And he said, "Okay, Mr. Young, I will do that." And he never did. But it was funny because at one point he left that business and went to Stockton. And he opened up his own Chinese restaurant. And I heard about it. So my wife and I headed out. And we are on our way to Stockton. We're going to help this guy. And I ordered almost everything on the menu. Much, much more than I could possibly eat there. And we were going to take it home. But I was trying to help this young man get off the ground. And guess what? He came down and sat with us for a while, and we talked, and he said, you can't eat all this. You're going to take it home?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "What better way to help you but to order a bunch of your food?" He said, "Oh, no, you don't pay here." I said, "What? I have to pay. I wouldn't have been so stupid and ordered all this food to take home if I knew I wasn't going to have to pay for it. That's crazy. I'm trying to help you." And he never would. He wouldn't take, he wouldn't take any money that day. I felt embarrassed, to say the least. I left a whopping tip. I think it was $50 tip. So the waitress liked me too. Or the waiter, I don't remember who he had. But it was amazing. It was fun. My friend Fred passed away from Parkinson's about a year ago, I guess, a little over a year. I don't know what made me think of him, but these renovation projects, he was a pleasure, a delight to be with, and I hope he's resting in peace. So, anyway, let's talk about a little bit about what a work write-up includes, because I hear and see a lot of very poor reports where people think they only need an SOR, and that's what they turn in, and that's it. And that's not the case by any means. There's much, much more. And we do much more than what's required. If you're using our software, which we've been providing since 1995, maybe late 94, then you're providing a lot more than is required, but we're doing that for a purpose. We do it because that saves the client, the lender client, time and money. And when you save time, that's money in their pocket. That's time they could be spending out there getting a new loan. So I stopped in to a lender one time. At that time, he was with Wells Fargo, Jose Vasquez. And Jose was on the phone. I asked the people who did the 203Ks and who's the big kahuna that does the 203K loans. And she said, see that guy over there on the phone? I'll let him know you're here. She took my card and left it for him. And he was with Wells Fargo at the time. And Wells Fargo had a rule. Once you pick a consultant, you have to spend about an hour interviewing him and answering a bunch of questions. So all you people out there that are marketing yourselves, I recommend that you put together a resume. A resume regarding your 203K experience. How many jobs have you done? And if you don't, haven't done any yet, then I'd leave that question off of your resume. And just, you know, take our training. We'll show you a bunch of samples. At least you can see what is supposed to be expected of you. But the fun thing about it is Jose finished his phone call. He came up to my wife and I, who were in Santa Barbara on a mini vacation, and decided to stop and see several lenders in town. He walked up and he says, you know, I've got a consultant, but here's the lender cards of a couple of lenders, and I know they're looking for a consultant. And he immediately turned to walk away from me. And I thought, I said out loud, you really don't like the interview, do you? And he stopped and turned around and says, what do you know about my interview? I said, well, currently I'm doing business with 15 of the top 25 Wells Fargo loan officers in the nation. You are? I said, yeah, and I've taken your interviewee sheet and I put it on a hidden website page on my website. He says, you're kidding. Come over here. And he took me to his desk, turned his computer around. He says, show it to me. I pulled it up. He scanned it. He hit print. He said, I've got three jobs for you. It's all about saving them time. He's already spent an hour interviewing another consultant that he hated. He did not like him at all. I don't know who you're using right now, Jose, or who you're with, but we're still here. So the fun part is that these, you have to be aware of their time. And if you're going in and sitting down and chit-chatting and just talking about the weather, that is not a good use of their time. Natasha Robinson from Guaranteed Rate was our guest last week, and since she was on the show, I've referred three loans to her. Of course, she's getting her own, too, the same way she always has, but I've given her three leads. How in the world? Why? People call me and say, hey, that person that was on your show, I didn't get how to contact her. I said, well, it was on the show. You could listen to it again on the podcast, or I could give it to you, and I do. I'm just teasing about the podcast, but we do have them. We have podcasts. You can go and see the podcast anytime you want. So anyway, let's get back to the work write-up. When we turn in a job, so to speak, then we want it to have everything. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. A work write-up, we include a cover sheet called the work write-up. It's a cover page or pages, which consists of a paragraph, and the first paragraph tells us a little bit about what I saw at the time of the inspection, what the consultant saw, you know. And that might start out with something like, this is a two-story single-family house with a concrete perimeter foundation and pier and post center supports. Everything looks pretty much in average condition. Then I go into the type of windows it has. You know, it might have wood frame windows. It's an older home, and maybe some of the windows have a gap at the top because the glass is actually flowing. Glass is a liquid, a super cool liquid, and it flows. And you get into the old homes that were built back in the 1800s, the glass is actually thicker at the bottom and very thin at the top, or worse. So we, you know, just give us a description of what you saw. In that same paragraph, I use some disclaimers that I put in there all day, every day, and one is mold. You know, we did a lot of mold testing at one point, and we don't do it anymore, so we just tell them that we're not mold experts, and if we see mold, we're going to suggest you get a mold inspection. Same thing with lead-based paint. we put a disclaimer in there that says on a house this age, it likely has lead-based paint. We go on down there, and one of them says, the report that we give you called a property inspection is not a home inspection by home inspection standards of practice, because home inspections typically cannot and do not include pricing the repairs. In our report, that's all we do is price those repairs. So this is not a home inspection, so don't misconstrue it as one. Now, I understand that Florida does allow you, in fact, may require you to put prices to everything. So Florida, kudos to you. I applaud you for allowing that to happen with your home inspections. Anyway, okay. Let me get back to where we was. Where was we? A lot of consultants want the contractor there at the time of the first inspection. So when I'm doing that work write-up page, it consists of a paragraph telling us a little bit about what we saw when we got there. And then there's a second paragraph. The second paragraph is all about what is going to happen to this house. What is it going to be? Is it going to add square footage? Are you going to just repair what's there? Are you going to stay within the footprint that currently exists? Or are you going to expand it? You know, we're in the middle of one right now it was a 1,300 square feet, and he blew the walls out. On one side and the rear, it's going to be a 2,600 square foot house. The appraiser needs to know that, and this is a paper page that'll go to the appraiser also. It goes to your lender, but it's abbreviated, just a paragraph that talks about the ins and outs, the whys, and what we're going to be doing to this house so that they have a synopsis, an idea of what's going to happen, what's going to transpire during the course of construction. The detail is going to be in the scope of work, or what's commonly referred to as the SOR, scope of renovation. Who would say scope of renovation? So they cut it to SOR. I say scope of work. I say job specifications of repair. Specifications of repair, SOR. Lordy, lordy, now that you really know. So in that second paragraph, we're also going to talk a little bit about how long the house won't be habitable. So if it's not habitable for 120 days, then the lender knows how many mortgage payments they could possibly put into that mortgage. I've got a poor guy right now. He bought a 30-acre ranch, beautiful big barn, three structures, three single family houses on the same lot, but one of them he's going to use for his kids to bunkhouse. Another one, his oldest child, is going to rent back from him. And his main house, if they ever get it finished, is where the wife is going to do her magic, as well as she will do her magic on the barn. She has always wanted horses and wanted to be able to rent space to horse fanciers in the area that may need a place to keep their horse and have it fed regular. So, let's see. How we doing time-wise, Doug? Okay, we got 1 minute. So I'm going to go ahead and break it here, and then we're going to come right back and pick this up as soon as we get back. So if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free. We'll be right back, so stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Shazam, we're back. That wouldn't take very long. It wasn't very painless, huh? Again, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888 888- 877-627-6008. If you're a new consultant or an old one, we love talking to you all. So feel free to call in and be part of the show, ask questions. You can do it also, call me directly during the week or whatever. I'm always happy. Don't ever apologize for calling me. I can't tell you how many times I have to say that each week, but I pick up the phone and say, I'm so sorry for calling you. I know you're busy. You don't know squat. I love your calls. I love them on the radio, but I love them anytime. So I'm happy to be that person you can bounce things off of nationally, let you know I don't compete with you. I may solicit you to be on our referral list, but other than that, we just love to hear from all of you. Say, let's see where we were. Lastly, in that, second paragraph of the work write-ups, abbreviated description of what's happening, we would also would discuss any additional square feet that's being added or removed from the property. I know I'm doing one right now where we are adding a bedroom and a bathroom, a master type situation. But there is an illegal addition on the back of the house, and while we're going to try to save it, we're putting it in there to take it away. Just get rid of it, and we're going to make this home legal. So lastly is a synopsis. Well, the synopsis is who was at the house at the time of the inspection? What time and day was the inspection? Were the utilities on or off at the time of the inspection? In this section, we also note that the last page of this report is an invoice. It used to be that we would get a call every time we turned a report in. Mr. Young, are you going to submit an invoice with this work? Yeah. Look on page one at the bottom. What's the last sentence? Oh, my goodness, it says the last page of your report is an invoice. I said, okay, now look at the last page of the report. Is it there? Yes, it is. Okay, do you want me to send it to you again separately? Oh, gosh, no, that'll be fine. They don't even read your report until they have all the pieces, and they won't. If they read it, they would have had all the pieces, so it's kind of strange. But we don't get asked that a lot anymore because they finally figured it out where we have it, both on the front and the back of the report. We also talk about how much contingency we recommend. You know, it's going to be between 10 and 20% typically. If the utilities are off or any one of the utilities is off, then it must be a minimum of 15%. I would go 20 on something like that if the utilities are off personally. I don't know. And then we've added the consultant's identity of interest right there. Because in our software, that's the easiest place to add it because it's got a line for the signature when it prints out directly below that, and you can sign it. But I'm working with a project with Guild Mortgage, and they sent me four of their own forms, which mimic my forms in those same categories. But, you know, what the heck, sign theirs too and send it off. But I don't add theirs to my report. They want theirs for whatever their reasons are. So I just let them do whatever they want, whoever the lender is. We just had a contractor recently call us. Oh, by the way, in that synopsis, it also says how many draw inspections are set aside. Well, remember that FHA is merely an insurance company, and they hold this to a maximum of 5 draws for a 203K project. Some lenders interpreted this to mean you can't have 6. Well, that's false. You can have 6, 7, 8, 10. I think the longest one I had was 14 draws or 13 draws. It might have been 15. I don't remember. But it was a $400,000 project, construction project, $400,000. You're going to have, you know, they want you to do 5 draws. Okay, so what's that? $90,000? No. Is that right? I don't know. It's a lot. And most contractors aren't doing just one job, so they've got their money strung out over 4 or 5 jobs. Some of them may be only one, and that would be a stress for them, but a stretch for them. But anyway, you can do one of two things. The guideline says we can pick a check up if there's another draw required, or they recommended cash in the old guideline because they can stop payment on the check, and I've had that done once. It was outrageous because I trusted the people and they lied to me. Eventually I got paid, but not by them. The loan officer said, look, I'm going to pay it. I don't want to raise a fuss about this thing. Okay, that's fine. What he really didn't want to do is raise a fuss about the potential fraud that I saw and reported. But anyway, so getting back to this, you can put a change order in for your draw, and you can charge $100 for doing the change order. So your draw was $350, it's now $450 because of the inconvenience of them not having enough laid out. But being an insurance company, HUD says, we're only going to stick five draws in there, and that's all you can put in there. I had a fellow yesterday, Friday, call me, a contractor. He said, I'm bidding this job, and I'm going to need six draws. I know now, right? I know right off the cuff, and I told him that we can do a change order and get it out of the contingency. And it's nice knowing that in advance. You know, it made him relax. A couple years ago, when Prospect Mortgage was around, they would not let the guy set up 10 draws because of the HUD guideline. I told him, we can give you 10. But he said, no, I want it in writing. That ain't going to happen. So they walked. The homeowner said, to hell with the bank. And he used his own cash and put the $300,000 the other guy wanted 10 draws, $30,000 each, and the homeowner just put $300,000, told the guy, build the house, I'll pay for it out of my bank. And that's what they ended up doing. It was terrible because the guideline actually stated at one time that you can have more draws if the lender and the homeowner agree. This is not there to put money in the consultant's pocket or the inspector's pocket. It's there to make this thing flow, to make this thing happen. Anyway, let's get back to this. A 203K package that you turn in also contains a consultant agreement. We call it consultant agreement because that's what HUD called it. It's also been referred to as allowable fee agreement. Or allowable fees agreement. HUD called it consultant agreement, so I continue to call it a consultant agreement. We get ours signed initially with wet signatures at the time of the inspection. I want the borrower present during that inspection. I do not necessarily want the contractor there because the contractor's likely already seen the house. He may already have put a bid together. I don't care. I will control what's in the scope of work. And I will bid the job. And I like to have that in my client's hands so the homeowner has that all figured out. He's got a price. I know this is going to cost me about $85,000 or $90,000. And when he gets the bid in, he can compare it. I'm doing one right now. My bid came in at $127,000, but they gave me a bid. They already had a bid. But when I went through it, their bid was, I think, $180,000, $170,000. And I came in at about $123,000. So, and I added some things to it. I added a lot of things to it. They were not going to repair every floor tile in the house, in the hallway, living room, bathroom, kitchen was all broken. And they didn't even address that. They said they'll address that next year. I said, no, not with the 203K you won't. You'll address it now. But then I saw what the guy was doing. His contractor had given them a bid that was so outrageous. If he had got the job, he would have just hired another contractor to do it and paid that contractor $123,000. And he'd have kept, $57,000 in his own pocket for doing absolutely nothing. So, we're also going to turn in what's called a recap of the subtotal, which is a list of the items, just a list of each line item that you're going to be working on. And also, it's at the bottom, it's going to have how much is the consultant's fee and how much is the permits and so forth. The permits are not, I can't stress enough, are not to be included as a line item in your scope of work, okay, or your specification of repairs. It is not. It's not allowed to be there because the lender has to put them in their maximum mortgage worksheet, which we don't have anything to do with, typically. But if you're a new lender doing business with us or a new loan officer, you can ask us to give you a maximum mortgage worksheet, and we'll print it out and let you see it, let you have it, so you can see where all of our numbers fit in your maximum mortgage worksheet. It makes it easier for you to fill it out in the early days when you're just getting started. So this recap then has the grand total of what it's going to cost. It includes your draw inspections at however much you charge for them. You'll have a sample draw inspection form filled out, signed on page one by the consultant, on page two by the borrower and the contractor. I don't sign page two, because if I sign page two, somebody could commit fraud, write in some numbers in column three, submit it for payment, and pay it. I don't like the idea of having somebody else. I always sign draw reports, draw inspection last also. I never sign them and leave them on the job. One time in 1994, I had a contractor there. He signed it, and the homeowner didn't show up. And he says, if you'll sign it, I'll get the homeowner thing, and I'll send it to you. Well, it wasn't his plan from day one. Him and the homeowner had conspired not to be there. And he signed it. I signed it like a fool, and I gave it to him. But in those days, we had a two-page draw form in the back of what they call the draw back. They didn't see it. I didn't leave that with him. So I didn't need to sign it because he was sending the paperwork back to me. And my lender got the paperwork back, and I made note of all the things that I authorized, line item and how much. Left the paperwork there, and the next day I get a call from the lender and say, hey, Mr. Guru, Mr. Know-It-All in the 203K business, you screwed up and didn't sign the back of the drawer. I said, oh, do me a favor, fax that over to me or email it or whatever we did in those days. I think we faxed. So he sent it over to me, and I said, don't pay that. I'll resubmit this with the proper numbers in there. They've tried to pull a little fraud on us. But what he'd done is he'd changed all of my numbers and added to them. Where I might have authorized 800, he put a 1 in front of the 8, trying to get 1,800 and so forth. That's the way he did it. And then some items that I didn't draw at all, he put numbers in. So that started me, as I filled out something in the field and had to leave paperwork, even though my signature was not on it, I would draw a diagonal line in the empty box at the highest point and then draw a diagonal box in the draw box and then put a line between them. So it made it difficult, hopefully impossible, for them to put additional items in. And that's the way you do that. If you want to leave the paperwork for someone to sign and send you back, then I recommend that you do your draw inspection and you fill out the column three, and then you put a diagonal line between the empty boxes, and then draw a straight line down through the middle of it so that it's easily discernible if they try to make a change in it. Okay? So that's where you should be, guys. Let's see what time we're looking at there. What the heck? Okay, we're right on the money. Doug is waving at me at the window, so I think we'll take another short break here. Stay tuned. Call us when you get back. Plan on calling in. It's 888-627-6008. It's much more fun than just listening to me ramble. And I love it. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this last break of today.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up, all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
It is a great idea. Great ideas. We abound with great ideas. Look at that. 203K is a great idea. It is not a loan. Actually, it's a loan guarantee program insured by FHA. All right, so where are we here? The draw form, we're filling that out. We're going to the reason we fill that out at all, we're going to sign as a consultant on page one, and the homeowner and the contractor sign on page two, so they can see a sample of your signature that's going to come on future draws. And they literally do. They got a light box, and they'll put the original signature there, and they'll hold this one over. And if they're too close to the same signature, you may find that they call you and say, we want a wet signature there. That looks like a rubber stamp. So I got a kick out of it when that happened to me a couple times, and it wasn't. I just signed my name very consistently. So you got that, and now the bid specification or specification of repairs is also going to be included in that submission. And it's got all the prices in it. Now, I hear lenders say all day, every day, that the contractor's bid and the consultant's bid must match penny for penny. Well, if consultants out there pay attention to what I'm about to say, HUD has actually called me on the telephone and said, if two people use the same books to get their pricing out of, they will not match penny for penny. And just want you to know that if you match the contractor's penny for penny, his bid, contractor's bid, penny for penny, then we will take you off the HUD list for 6 months as a punishment. The lender says, no, we can have supplemental requirements. And those supplemental requirements suggest, in this case, that we want these two numbers to match penny for penny. So if you don't want to match them, you can't be a consultant for us anymore. So what does that do to the poor consultant out there, particularly the new guy that's just getting out there? Some of us old tyrants, all farts, are just, we don't let them bully us, and that's exactly what they're doing. But what I've done, so you consultants understand, number one, there's nothing in the guideline that requires a contractor's bid. He can match your bid if he wants to. You don't care. It isn't about you matching his. You don't need to do that. You can't do that, or you'll be punished. Secondly, because there is no requirement for him, that's a lender supplemental that causes nothing but grief, because we're not going to match his bid. He can match ours. We don't care. So I don't care to see his bid. I don't want to see his bid. I don't need his bid for any reason. And yet there's people out there training consultants. Don't even go out until they get a contractor's bid and then copy it. No, that is not the way to be a consultant. You have to be able to put an independent bid together on your own. Read the guideline. Okay? So the bid specification is an important document, but the contractor's bid. I had one lender that held a project up for 5 months while they were trying to get the contractor to change and add two items that I saw needed to be added during my inspection. I've also had, realtors say, well, the termite guy didn't catch that, and our home inspection we had done didn't catch that. How come you had to catch it? I said, I can't speak to the qualifications of other people or how good they do their job. That's just not what I do. So I would suggest that you really look hard at those two people and for future, make sure they have add a clause there that if you find a significant discrepancy that they're going to refund your money and see how much clearer their reports get. And now, also submitted is a property inspection report. You can substitute a home inspection, and you can upcharge if you do a full home inspection. You cannot charge more if you're just turning in the minimum required inspection and disclaiming it as not a home inspection. Effectively, a typical home inspection has a sheet of paper, maybe two, that shows deficiencies, the things that need to be repaired or adjusted. That becomes your scope of work document. So that's the first thing I look at when I look at a standard home inspection is, what are they saying is wrong and needs to be repaired? The next item is you're going to have a permits required form. Now, everybody's got one. The permits required, in column 35, a line item, we say, contractor, we need to know what you think the permits are going to cost. They cannot be a line item because we're going to pay them 100% when you present those items, those paid receipts for the permits or architect or engineering. And if I put them as a line item, they'll hold 10% back. So it's really to your benefit. But I do need to know what the numbers are, so please let me know. Now, who is it? Freedom Mortgage. Oh, my good buddy is at Freedom Mortgage. I have to laugh because they insist that we call and find out what those permits are being. And when you call and you say, hey, I need to know how much the permits are going to be, we're doing a room addition. They'll say, you're going to have to bring the approved plans down here, and we'll look at it, and we'll give you an estimate of our fees. Yes, sir. Well, we know that, but apparently Freedom Mortgage doesn't know that because they insist that we make the call. And it can be the homeowner, the realtor, anybody can make the call. You just have to sign that you made the call, and you're going to provide the number that you called and the person you talked to. I had one, the last one I did for them, in fact, maybe that's why it was the last one, is because they insisted that I do this, and I wrote them a lengthy letter that these are estimates. Like the city of Berkeley charges 7.5% of the construction cost for the work they're doing, for the permits, I mean. So I have to figure that out. And they said, well, we want it broken down. We want to know how much of that is plumbing, how much is electrical, how much is building. And I said, well, it's changeable. Once we do the blueprints, then they're going to tell us exactly, well, take the blueprints down there, Mr. Young. I said, no, it's not in my scope of work. My scope of work says I'm here to prepare the paperwork. And if you want to know that, then you have to give me those blueprints. I'm not going to draw blueprints up. Oh, no, we're going to pay an architect to do that. But we don't have that yet. You know, some of the projects come to us with blueprints, but most of the time they don't. And it's going to take 2, 3, 4 weeks to get all those blueprints once they close the loan. But I don't really want my clients spending $10,000 on blueprints, $2,000 on engineering, if they don't know they've got the house yet. So we need to close the loan and do that, and we need to put time in there for that to happen. Okay? So just be aware. Oh, wow. This day is just slipping away from us, isn't it? Okay. I didn't get a chance to talk about some renovation projects that we found interesting yet. We usually do that every show. But let's talk about a couple of those. We had a very small home on a very large lot. The home had a pier and post foundation in an area where it was now more common to see raised concrete perimeter foundations. it was clear the piers and posts wouldn't be used in the same place that they currently sat under the new home, because the new home is going to have an entirely different footprint. So the borrower wanted to keep one wall. Well, his house ended up being a stucco house, and the one wall was what they call three-lap wood siding. So each piece of siding had three segments to it. So they kept that, but I didn't know this until I got back there. I checked with HUD already and told them what the situation was, and they gave me permission to be sure that you use all those piers under the new house. They were the weirdest looking piers. So we had to pour a standard footing underneath them and then stack these tall piers. They were 18 inches tall. But I made sure that the home was above, it had a nice crawl space, if you would. On that particular project, HUD came back to us and said, you know, we went out there and looked. I don't want you to use that wall section they saved. We'll use the piers as the original starting point to be sure that you can see as many as possible. And I think we could see 9 of them from the crawl space. You could just look down in the hole and shine your flashlight around and see about 9 of those piers. But the beautiful thing about this thing is the equity on the project at completion was between $400,000 and $500,000. And that's a lot of, these renovations go like that. So you got to be careful, but you can make some money on them. See, we've done a lot of renovations that included a second story addition. I remembered a couple of them, but there once was 2 houses on one lot. The first house, no great issues, but the rear house had no perimeter foundation. It had the pier and post dug right in the ground like little telephone poles, but they were 4x4s, and they were painted with a black, what do you call that stuff you put on telephone poles? Tar. But we added a perimeter foundation to the back house. Talk about a problem getting the concrete back there past the first house down a narrow, about a 3-foot walkway between the house and the fence. So how about a home on a lot where the street had been widened to a point there was no front yard anymore? You walk off the front porch, you step down into the street. So the homeowner wanted to move the house back. They had a 120-foot deep rear yard. The client wanted to move the house back to give him a decent-sized front yard. The lender insisted this couldn't be done because it doesn't fit the guideline. Well, actually, it did fit the guideline. Everybody knows the guideline says you can pick a house up and move it from another lot over to this lot. So why in the world couldn't you lift it up off its existing lot and move it back to a more advantageous location on that lot? That was a fun one because HUD, our boss at HUD, in this case San Francisco jurisdiction or Santa Ana at that time, said get them on a phone at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and make sure everybody's there and then call me. And that was wonderful because HUD really does rely on us as consultants. And they thought, the bank thought, they were going to chit-chat with the guy from HUD and figure out all the details they needed to. Instead, he said, do you have a consultant? Yes. The consultant said you could do this, then you can do this. Don't disrespect my consultant or you're disrespecting me. And you piss me off and you won't do any more FHA loans in the United States. You know, and then he hung up. He did not give them a chance to respond. And they just looked at each other and I said, I guess we can do it. So, in any case, it's been fun. I think we're running a little over. Doug must be giving me a few minutes early on my show extra. So, anyway, thanks for being with us. We do appreciate it. We hope you'll be with us next Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This broadcast is coming to you directly from our Las Vegas, Nevada offices, where outside it's 113 degrees today. Yikes. I'm glad I'm inside this air-conditioned office. See you next time.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.